Yeah, what is going on, Nick's Anonymous family? Welcome back to another episode of
Nick's Anonymous, episode 103.
103, baby. I don't know if it's like an episode or like a little like short. Nonetheless, it's an episode. It's just news.
We could have called it a short and start doing shorts every now and then. Make that a thing. Anonymous shorts.
Content.
Just saying. I'm just
Content.
saying. I'm just
Content.
saying.
I like the way you think, Stevie. Stevie, social medias.
Sure. Follow us on Instagram at Nick's Anonymous, Twitter at Nick's Anonymous, but on Twitter it's spelled KNICKZ Anonymous. We got hacked. I always mention that every show just to remind y'all. TikTok, follow us on Nick's Anonymous. Go to our website, nicksanonymous.com, which I'm sure y'all see in the outline below and above.
Yeah,
And
it's just below, just below.
okay, my bad, below. And you could also find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, and Breaker.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's almost like he writes it down, people. I'm
Yeah, I'll be
LJ.
honest, I do. I forget. Sorry. I'll be honest. I finally let the cat out the bag.
I'm LJ.
Stevie in the building.
You already know. We are the people's voice.
And we are nothing without you, the beautiful and ugly people.
That may be cheesy, but so what? It is catchy. Okay, big news. So, quote unquote, big news. It's not supposed to be big news, but it's big news because it's New York and everybody's very emotional when they claim they're not. But here we are. So, Evan Fournier had came out with a what was that interview? He came out with an interview. It was a French interview. And he pretty much just went off on the coach and the organization and their plan with him. So, kind of dropped like a funk flex bomb on like everything, pretty much.
I guess, because I personally, it's only news, like, we're Knicks fans, so of course it's gonna be news to us. But I wouldn't even call it big news, bro, because we know he's on the way out, and why he decided to release this statement,
I
and,
think he knows he's on the way out as well.
well, of course, I
And
mean, he's the reason.
he's throwing the ultimate fit.
That's what it sounds like, You know, honestly, like, I'll be real. At the end of the day, he's a pro basketball player and he wants to play. So I could understand how he feels. He has every right to feel that way. Because despite the fact you make well, not hundreds of millions, him, but like, he makes 20, 80 million, basically. He signed a 4-year, $20 million
He
per
makes
year contract.
$18 million to sit down next year.
Yeah, that's another thing. He's complaining while making that much money. But again, that's redundant because he's a competitor. The guy wants to play regardless of how much money he makes. But again, as you said, getting paid a lot of money to sit, bro. I kind of wouldn't complain if that was me. That's just me.
No, but yeah, honestly, so you got to look at it from his standpoint, right? So he in his standpoint, he's saying it's more than the money. I want to play. I want to be important.
No,
That's
yeah, I
cool.
could agree with that. Again, he's a competitor. Competitors want to compete. So
That's
I can
cool.
understand that.
But bro, there is a time and a place. There's a way to handle things, okay? You don't go to the press and just start dissing Tibbs and our plan and our direction and you know.
Did he mention to I saw the quote. But I didn't see like the whole thing. I saw like the main points, but I heard it was like a little longer than the main points.
He did this Tibbs. He was
Like
just
that's what I was gonna ask. Did he mention him by name?
No, so he there was pretty much like so they explained what happened. So like what happened was is Tibbs told Fournier that yo, we're gonna make a change. We're gonna switch things up. And the switch up was when I believe Grimes took his starting spot. 'Cause I believe Fournier was starting before. And I think Grimes took that starting spot, and that's when they started the 9-man rotation, and that's when he went on that like 9-game winning streak or
Yeah,
8-game winning
sat
streak.
they sat on Rose as well. Because remember, Rose was getting minutes in the beginning of the season too. And we started
Correct.
kind of rocky.
Correct. And after the results, which everybody loved, let's not forget this, everybody loved the nine-man rotation. Tips was like, yo, Fournier, let me tell you something, bro. You're done.
That's paraphrasing, yo. I don't think he said that exactly that way.
No, he didn't say it like that, but like, bro,
I could imagine that's how it went down, though. Not in those words, but that's how it went down.
Now that I say it like that, it's like, that's kind of messed up. It is. It's messed up in its own right. But, dude, it just is what it is, bro. It worked. We worked without you. And I'm sorry. Just be ready, I guess. You know what I mean? Just that's all you can do as a professional. Just be ready. Fournier did not like that. I don't really blame him. But at the same time, it's not a problem thing. Like, I don't blame, it's a coach's duty to make a coach's decision. He saw that something was working, told the player what was not, like, what was the deal. Like, he didn't just sit him down without saying anything. He was professional enough.
Get your ass on that bench.
You know what I mean? He was professional enough to come to him and be like, yo, bro, listen, I'm sorry. Like, like, this is how it's going to have to be. And so, cool, you know, didn't take exception, whatever. But this is when things get sticky. Evan Fournier continues to talk, and he says in practice, on 5-on-5s, he would just be standing on the sideline with no other than who? Yes, sir, Derrick Rose.
Yo, and bro, that's...
this is like a soap opera. And then, apparently, they would look at each other and be like, and they said, like, yo, what was the, like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? What are we even doing here?
Yo, bro, that's hilarious. Let me tell you why that's funny, bro. First of all, your man threw Derrick Rose under the bus. Let's throw that out there. Come back, Derrick Rose was home chilling.
Even if Derrick Rose has something to do with it.
Why would you even mention his name?
Yeah, this is about you. This is about you, Evan Fournier. Exactly, bro. It's your interview.
You know what he did? This would be like, bro, let me compare this to something. Let's say I'm talking bad about somebody. And you're standing with me. And I'm talking shit to the dude. And he's standing right in front of my face. I'm saying all kinds of bad stuff. And as soon as I finish saying bad stuff, I go, you know what? And LJ feels exactly the same way. And she's going to be like, hey, whoa. How did I get in this? You know? That's what, bro. He threw him under the bus, bro. Because like you said, even if he said that, why would you bring him into this?
He's not even there.
Yeah, he signed with Memphis. He left quietly.
And professionally. Straight up.
Yes, he left quietly and professionally.
He probably went to the Tibbs and to the management was like, yo, listen, I appreciate what y'all doing, but I want to play. And that's it.
Yeah, he said, don't exercise my option. And they was like, cool, bro. You did good. This is how Asuma went. What you said happened. Leon and the rest of the front office was like, you know, cool. Hooked us up, mentored our young guys, we're a better team. I mean, here's your money for next year. You know, good luck. Professional way to do it.
And they found them a good place, too. Memphis is not a bad place.
Oh, yeah, bro. I think that was one of the most impactful signings of the offseason, not for nothing. Especially for with Ja Morant over there. Derrick Rose would be a good mentor for him. But, yeah, bro. Like, that was... Evan Fournier did an odd thing, bro. Like... You pretty much lowered your... You wore out, but it kind of seems like you were trying to lower your own value by doing this, bro. Because let's be real, bro. As soon as you... Again, we stated this in the beginning.
Oh,
again.
And he also... To make matters worse, he also brought up some anime references to kind of get more... To make more people, you know, kind of hop on, you know... We're not doing this to make fun of Evan Fournier. It's just like, why, bro?
The anime part, I'm going to make fun of him for that. Like, what would you try to say, bro? You was charging up.
Listen, this is what Evan Fournier said he was.
Yeah, he's charging up. Ain't that what that is?
Like, yeah,
I know Dragon Ball. I don't watch Dragon Ball like that. But I know when they, like, recuperate and they charging up. So I know that much.
Excuse me. So in this scene right here, he was hurt and he's in this chamber and he's, like, healing.
Oh, boy.
So Evan Fournier is basically saying that he was ready to go, which is cool. We didn't need you. So
Yeah, bro, you was a liability on defense, bro. You
on
a
defense, bucket, bro. Don't get it twisted,
but you was a liability on defense.
Thank you for bringing that up, Stevie, because we need to start getting logical. I feel like we're just bashing Evan Fournier just to bash Evan Fournier. So
I mean, bro, like, you know what? I don't want to bash. We're not bashing him, you know, because, like, he had a good season the year before when we didn't make the playoffs. He broke the three-point record once held by John Starks. I'll congratulate that. He had some good games. But this past season, I guess to make things simple, trying to figure out a nice way to say this, you lost your spot. That's not a bad way to say it. It just happens, bro. That's the business of basketball, bro. You lost your spot. That's any sport.
Same thing with Obi.
Young cat comes. Yeah, same thing with Obi Toppin. Sometimes a young cat comes, takes your spot. In Obi's case, sometimes you don't earn your spot.
And with Fournier, it was with Grimes.
Yeah, with Fournier, it was with Grimes. Grimes took his spot. With Obi, it was Randle. He didn't earn his spot. Because remember, again, not to get off the topic of Fournier, but Obi was going to replace Randle. He didn't do it. That's why he's gone. Just logical.
And we got Dante DiVincenzo as his replacement, which is he's a way better defender than Evan Fournier. You can argue that Evan Fournier is a better shooter than Dante DiVincenzo, but I could argue that Dante DiVincenzo is more efficient than Evan Fournier. So,
I could,
you know.
That's a good argument. I'd be cool with that. And DiVincenzo is actually a better ball handler and can drive to the hole and can run an offense.
And most importantly, he plays defense.
Yeah, facts. Facts, facts, facts.
It is what it is, New York. Why can't we just accept trades? I don't understand. Why can't we like acknowledge improvement? Like, I look
weird too.
Wait, hold on, Steve. Hold on. I'm about to go off. Hold on. I feel it.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm about to go off. It wasn't even supposed to go here, but it's going here. So on Twitter, Steve.
Oh, no names. No names.
No names. It's not even about that. It's about it was me. I tweeted this.
Oh, by the way, it's two of us. In case some of y'all don't know, go ahead. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yes, on the Twitter account, you do not know who you're talking to. It could either be me or him, and we will never tell you who. So stay enraged. I put on Twitter what the Knicks accomplished this year. I put made it to the second round of the playoffs. Grimes made the Rising Stars game. Brunson and Josh Hart played a significant role in getting us into the playoffs because it was Brunson's first year and we got Josh Hart in the middle of the season. Randle made his second. Oh, thank you for people. Thank you for my Instagram family for correcting me. I was doing a lot of angry typing this morning. Me and Stevie were at like complete war with this whole Evan Fournier thing.
Bro, all I said was facts, and that just started a firestorm.
All he said was
That's
facts.
That's all I said, y'all. I said facts. I agreed to a comment.
And then I was like, quickly came in second for sixth man of the year. And all I hear is we didn't play Obi or Fournier.
I mean, after hearing all them accomplishments, obviously it worked out.
I don't understand, bro.
You know what weirds me out too, bro? Everybody wanted Fournier to sit. Remember in the beginning of the year? The whole thing was, yo, Tibbs needs to play the kids.
That's what happened. That's how we got in the 8-game winning streak. Like,
bro, so I don't understand. Where is this anger coming from, bro? You know what it is? It's because he criticized the coaching. So everybody that wants Tibbs fired went on their little social media firestorm and ran with it. It was like, yeah, this is why we got to fire Tibbs. And he brought Derrick Rose into it. I think he brought Derrick Rose into it for that reason. Because if the fans, certain fans, quote-unquote fans, those ain't real fans to me.
It kind of sounds like a PR stunt, right? Like, it kind of sounds...
That's what I'm saying. Because why else would you bring Derrick Rose into that? No, that's Tibbs' boy. Why? You know what I mean? Why? Look at it this way. He wasn't the only one not playing. Jericho Sims wasn't playing either. Why didn't he have that conversation with Jericho Sims? You know what I mean? So yeah,
Sims was chilling.
This is a PR. This was supposed to be a PR stunt, I believe. I don't know what, but I'm going to assume since he knows he's getting traded to get teams to be like, oh, snap, 48 is available. Pretty much, I think he lowered his trade value and made it much harder to trade him. Because let's be real, bro. Like, you're on another team. You a coach on another team, and you see he's doing that. After years of being a professional, isn't that going to throw you off a little something? Like, yo, where's this coming from?
What, the Zion effect?
He was talking. Yeah, mind you, he was talking like he was going through hell. Like, what are we doing here? Like, standing on the sidelines. Bro, we were winning. Bro, we're in the best position we've been in years. Hypothetically speaking, I know the Knicks aren't close to it. Let me not say we're not close to a championship. We actually are. We're closer than we've ever been. I don't care what nobody says. We're pretty damn close. We made it. We were the final, one of the final eight teams in the playoffs. That's pretty close. But anyway, hypothetically speaking, let's say the Knicks win the chip this year. Is Evan Fournier saying all this? Because, bro, when teams win championships, everybody celebrates, bro. Everybody gets TV time, even the end of the bench player. Remember? Bro, as a matter of fact, I even bring one up. When the Lakers won their championships in the years Kobe and Shaq was there, they had a bench player named Mark Madsen. No, good role player. But you know what he was known for? Dancing when they win the championship, off beat. Evan Fournier would have been that guy. That would have been Evan Fournier.
He still could be that guy.
Hypothetically speaking.
He could still be here. He. I don't think he really thought this one through. Because what if they decide to keep him? You know how awkward that is.
I mean, yeah, that too. And let me not say keep him, but we just might have him to the deadline, bro. So yeah, you're gonna be that dude that when you walk into the locker room, everybody gonna be like, you know, like, and Tibbs is gonna be like, oh yeah, you're definitely not coming in.
Yeah, he definitely not. Yeah, don't even come to practice, bro. Like.
Yeah, yo, go home, bro. Just take your money and go home.
Take your.
I wouldn't blame Tibbs if he did that, but Tibbs not that kind of guy. Tibbs is a professional.
And listen, okay, before we get, because we have been called, oh my god, we've been called some names today. We have been called. Well, we were told to get off Tibbs's nuts. So, let's hold on. Let's say something for a second. Overall, let's look at the bigger picture here. Tibbs is 2-1 in his career with the New York Knicks. Both times he went to the he improved. First time he went to the first round. Second time he went to the second round. If you look at me in my face and tell me that's not improvement, you are incapable of thinking. I'm tired of being nice with it, bro. I'm tired of saying facts aren't facts anymore. It's weird. Yes, he has offensive issues. He can be playing Randall in various other different ways. He could be doing that with a lot of other guys. There could be a lot of different variations that could be happening. I understand that. Okay? But until people start giving me answers about who you want as a coach to back him up, just let him rock. Because we don't know what is going to happen next. We just got rid of two players that weren't really doing anything for us and just signed a player that are going to be doing producing more than what Evan Fournier is going to do. You know what I mean? So, and that argument of that we're going to get worse, because I've heard that one. Mike called me and told me that shit. I was bugged
Mike
out when
TV,
he told me.
Shout out to Mike.
Yeah, shout out to Mike TV. And I'm sure.
Shout you out every show, bro.
If he said that.
I bet people who watch the show are like, who the hell is Mike?
Bro, if he said that, that means there's a bunch of other people that think the same as him. He was just trolling,
why he,
probably.
Why he said we take it a step back? I'm curious.
He's trolling. He's just
no,
saying,
I know, but what did he say? What was his reason?
He's saying that he asked me if I really thought that we didn't need him in the Miami series. And I was like, yeah, for shooting, but dude, like, you gotta get back on defense. Like,
but we would have got torched.
You gotta get back on defense. Who was he
bro,
guarding?
Grimes was getting torched, but he was getting scored on. Imagine if Fournier was in the game.
Like, yeah, he would have scored, got buckets, maybe. Maybe. We don't even know. We don't even know what he's been doing in the offseason or while he's been doing at practice. We don't even know if he's been practicing. Not to you know, diss him or anything, but we don't know what he's been doing.
Judging by his quote, yeah. I can
judging by that. The attitude, you don't think he's been doing anything. Like, so.
And he did say, and I quote, we were standing there wondering what we doing here. You said that.
You're idling, sir.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, Evan Fournier's bugged out. But
it's not a hate Evan Fournier thing. I don't hate Evan Fournier. I'll be honest, bro. Even when we first signed him, I was iffy about that signing again. And we could go back to the Knicks Anonymous episodes when we first signed him. I was hyped about Kemba and iffy about him. But I gave it a chance because we needed shooting and he was a decent fit. Turns out I was wrong.
Yeah.
No, and we're here.
And
we're
his
in a better place for it.
Hit, and the people are saying, why give him the $72 million? I get that. You know, why give him $72 million if it wasn't going to work? But we signed him for that much specifically so we can move him. So his contract is being used as it should be. Because remember, everybody was loving the contract, but oh, it's movable. Oh, it's, you know, did you not forget that? Did y'all forget he's movable? Like, he's gonna go.
Knicks fans have short memories, bro. There's a big portion of this fan base that has a short memory.
You know what I mean? That's like that. This is the point of his contract. If it doesn't work, we move. If it does, we sign. It didn't work, so we move. You know, like why is that so hard to comprehend? Why can't we just move on from players? And why does that team that the player goes to has to kill us? Why? Why do the Pacers got to drop 40 on us because Obi went over there? Like,
I'm going to the Pacers game this year,
bro. Like I told you on the phone, bro. I don't even care if we don't even make the playoffs. I just want to make sure we beat the Pacers every single time. I want to beat them so bad that the head coach. Like they have to fire him. Like
that'd be sweet.
Like,
but Obi beat him so bad they got to trade Obi. Like,
yeah, bro, I'm not hearing.
Like, bro,
it,
we thought you was gonna put in work. Randle dropped 50 on your head. Like,
and yo, listen,
that's what I want. I want Randle to drop 50 on his head.
I want terms and conditions. Okay, I don't want if the Pacers beat us and Obi did not play. I don't want to hear nothing about Obi's better in Indiana. Obi better if Obi.
You will.
If the Pacers beat us, I want Obi to have 16. Obi got to have 16. I'll be like, all right, he beat us. Anything less
and
than 16. Okay,
if he doesn't have 8 rebounds, it ain't valid to me. You want the 16 points. I want 8 rebounds.
14 minimum. 14 points minimum. If he doesn't have 14, 16 points or 8 rebounds, he didn't kill us. I don't want to hear it.
Let's have fun. Predict Julius Randle's stat line against you.
Oh, shit. 32-9, and like 3.
I say 27-15-5.
Either way, those
kill him on the rebounds, bro.
Those two stat lines are way different.
Gonna kill him on the glass, bro. Watch.
Those two stat lines are way different than Obi's.
Bro,
we wanted to get rid of that for Obi. I mean, listen, we can all dream. It is what it is. So
we have opinions, but back it up with facts is all I'm saying.
But look, at the end of the day, they're all opinions, and we're open to everybody's opinion. We don't want to feel, you know, anybody make you know.
But again, just back it up with facts.
Yeah, like we don't want
to
make anybody feel bad.
Back up your opinion.
But we're also entitled to our opinions as well. And there's a lot of people that resonate with our opinions. And, of course, there will be people that do not resonate with that opinion. So what do you guys think? Was Evan Fournier in the right? Did he handle the situation properly? And what next? I mean, we don't know, really. Honestly, what if we keep him? What if we dead just keep him?
Just till the deadline. He's definitely gone, bro. Even if it's for second-round picks, he's gone. Especially after
I think he did this to make the process maybe a little bit faster, don't you think?
I think he slowed it down.
Oh.
If he would have stood quiet, it would have probably went faster. But he slowed this shit down. Bro, why would somebody want to? A coach is, I don't know, bro, but if I'm a coach, I'm looking at that like, wow, this guy knows he's on the way out. Like, even like, I don't know, bro. Like, I understand the NBA is a job and we've all checked out at work before. It's happened. I check out at work every day, bro. At around 3 o'clock, I'm finished. But this is why you get paid the big bucks. You're not supposed to act like this. If you paid me $18 million to do my job, I ain't checking out. Not until it's time to leave. For $18 million? Shit. Yeah. I'm shining shoes for $18 million.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, again, all opinionated. I mean, I think everybody could agree on one point that it could, it, you know, we're not mad at Evan Fournier. We're mad at the way Evan Fournier.
He went about it.
How he went about it. You know,
he's entitled to feel how he does, bro. He's an athlete, again, competitor. If you're a competitor, you want to compete. That's just logical for anything, even if it's at a job. Again, like, people compete for positions at jobs, like for promotions. So I understand, but you just went about it the wrong way.
Indeed, my friend. And just like that, and this offseason has been pretty spicy for no reason whatsoever.
Be kind of quiet, actually. All around the NBA. You know why?
No, I meant spicy within, like, our metaverse.
Of course, among the Knicks. But for the most part, though, the NBA's been kind of quiet because everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with Harden. At least that's what I'm getting out of all this.
What about Lillard? Maybe Lillard, too?
That, too. Everybody's waiting to see where those dominoes fall before anybody makes any further moves. Because if you notice, like, it's been quiet. They haven't been. What move have you heard lately? Matter of fact, the only move that I heard that's made a little noise, quote unquote, is the Suns signing Bol Bol. That's a good look for them.
The Suns got him. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, damn. That's a good look for them.
And Joel Embiid. Cannot forget about Joel Embiid.
Oh boy, yeah, those rumors are back. What do you think about that? I'll let you start.
138. What zip code is that? What zip code is 138?
138.
I don't know.
Zip code has five numbers.
I don't know. So I don't. Joel Embiid posted something like 138, like with a couple of question marks. Everybody was like, I don't know. It was weird. Like, Knicks fans are crazy. Like, they were trying to say it was my haven, like 138 my haven.
Oh God! Oh God! Bro.
I started dying.
He probably don't even know what Mount Haven is.
I started dying when I saw that.
Boy, oh God! Bro. The internet comes up with anything.
138 Mount Haven is crazy, bro. What do I think about Joel Embiid? He's the same argument as Randle. People say, oh, his regular season doesn't matter. I mean, Joel Embiid is the perfect example of that. He continues to flop in the playoffs. And he has
8 games this year against Boston. Actually, he had a good game 6 and then blew it in game 7. So yeah, he's basically MVP Randle, if you want to be real about it.
You know what I mean? So now you got two of them together. Maybe they cancel each other out. But if we get rid of Embiid, we're definitely getting rid of Randle.
I don't know.
No.
Possibilities there. We might keep Randle. But this is a nothing burger for me, bro. Because in all honesty, the headline with this is, hypothetically speaking, if Embiid asked for a trade, the Knicks will be the favorites, which means he didn't ask for a trade. So this isn't news to me. And again, Joel Embiid doesn't make sense to me, bro. Always injured. I won't say his best days are behind him. He's still in his prime, but I think he's closer to his best days being behind him than we think, especially considering all the injuries he has. If I had to put a number on it, I think he has 3 or 4 good prime years left at the level I would say 3 based on his injury history. 3 at worst, 2 of these MVP type years left, bro. B's been around for a while, bro. Keep in mind, he missed his first year or two, so there's injury history there, and he's not always fully healthy, and he misses games every year. And again, disappears in the playoffs. I don't see him being that missing piece personally. That's just my opinion. Would I be mad if the Knicks pulled the trigger? At first, maybe, but I'd probably warm up to it. But it's not a move I would make.
It's not logical. It's not the right move. It's really not. It's too much risk. No reward, really. So, you know, like you said, you got too much to worry about. Like, think about the assets we have to give up for him. You know,
that too. You got to give up a lot.
So we're pretty much giving up the farm. That's the guy. So if you get Embiid, just know, like, everybody, that's the guy. That's the guy you invested your entire life savings in. Him. That's the guy. So I hope you can live with that. I mean, Stevie cannot. And I think a lot of Knicks fans can't either.
So. A lot of Knicks fans seem to want it. A lot of Knicks fans seem to want Embiid. Like, it's not, again, it's not a move I would hate, because there's other, like, I would take Embiid over Paul George. Definitely. I'll say that. Would you take him over Paul George?
Yeah.
Because he's more reliable.
I'm gonna think about it, but yeah.
Nah. As far as injuries and being on court, lately he's been more reliable than Paul George. And a lot of Knicks fans were thirsty to get Paul George. So in that instance, yeah, I would take Embiid over him and over Towns or any other players that we've been rumored to get. So far, he'd be the one that'd be like, I guess, the one I would go for. But again, I still don't think it'd be the move we should make. I just wait it out, bro. We don't have to rush, because no team took a step forward this offseason so far. If anything, some took steps back.
If you want to count the Suns, maybe, with Bradley Beal.
Well, yeah. They took that. That's if he stays healthy, though. That all depends on his health.
I mean, don't don't underestimate our trade, Stevie. Our signing.
I'm not underestimating. I'm talking about the NBA as a whole. Like, we took a step. Nobody really improved like that. Like, nobody. Like, who took a step forward that said, "All right, this is gonna be the team that's gonna take Nuggets out"? Nobody. Oh,
nobody. No.
Nobody. But the most impactful move, in my opinion, that actually made the team better, was the Memphis Grizzlies getting Marcus Smart and D Rose. Those were the most impactful moves. The most impactful offseason moves for me, because they needed that. This Ja Morant is a head case. Not a bad player, not a bad guy either, because I like Ja Morant. That dude, he's gonna be the truth for a long time.
If he keeps guidance. His head straight.
Yeah, if he has that guidance, he's gonna be around for a while. People gonna have to get used to him.
I think Marcus Smart and D Rose are pretty good teachers. Yes. So.
Yes, and not for that, Marcus Smart makes them a way better defensive team. So I'm telling you, watch out for the Grizzlies next year. Those were the most impactful signings. Do they make them better than Denver? No. So that means basically next year, Denver's the favorite again. And the East is wide open. That's how I see it.
And that's a great way to see it. Look, and we said it before on previous episodes that if you take away our bad start, because a lot of people forget, we had a rough, rocky road in the beginning. You know, we were finding our footing. Me and Stevie did the math. And if we would have won a lot of, if we would have took the skill set that we had towards the midseason, towards the mid and end of the season, and we put that in the beginning of the season, we would have won a lot of those games we lost by 3, by 2, by 1, by 5, by 4. And
oh, bro. I still have that list of games we should have won. It was 9 games.
So those 9 games, we would be, because we had what, 47, right? No, we finished with.
Hold on, let me check. No, go ahead, continue. My fault, bro. Go ahead.
We finished with how many wins, Stevie?
I'm checking right now. My fault, bro. We finished 47-35. Which means if we won them 9 games, we'd have 56 wins, bro. Which would have put us at what seed? Bro, that would have had us 3rd seed over the Sixers.
What more do you want? We're right there, bro. Like, we're contenders. We're right there, like.
We're not finals contenders.
We're not finals.
We're conference contenders, though. And I'm like, cool with that.
You got to watch out for us. Like, we're not that freebie on the board, bro. You're going to have to play.
Not anymore.
You're going to have to play us.
We ain't gonna rough you up. We're not gonna rough you up like the old Knicks. We gonna give you problems.
That's another thing. That's another thing too. That whole narrative of people don't want to come here due to management, this, that, and the third. I'm gonna tell you something. From the way to look at it, Tibbs is strictly business. Tibbs is, what are you doing for my team? When you look at it, Obi Toppin, yes, he was producing. Was he producing enough to move the needle? No. Evan Fournier, we literally had no spot for him. So what did we do? We get rid of Obi, second round picks, whatever we're going to do with those picks. We now sign Dante DiVincenzo to replace Evan Fournier's duties. So you automatically upgraded in defense, right?
Facts.
I'm getting a little off track here because I'm a little passionate, Stevie. But
nah, take your time, bro. Take your time.
That whole narrative of that they don't want to come to the management. If you're not coming here to ball, no drama, no nothing, nothing. If you're not here to win and produce, you're gonna get seated. You're gonna get benched. You're gonna get the slap on the wrist. You're gonna feel it. You're gonna run more suicides than the rest. Tibbs is gonna work you down. All right. Could it be a flaw? Yes. But dude, that level of intensity translates on the floor. And the Knicks are known to be gym rats. Thanks to who?
Tibbs.
You're gonna be held very, very accountable if you're a big star coming to New York on Tibbs' team. You're gonna be held. That's the word, accountability. You are gonna be accounted for everything you do, and I'm gonna be harder on you about it because I already expect you to know whatever mistake I'm about to tell you you made.
Facts. I agree. As it should be. He's a coach. What this coach says goes, bro. You know what it is with today's NBA? Everybody expects the players to be in control, which they are. This is a players' league now. And a lot of the complaints I hear about Tibbs is, oh, he's too old school. The game has passed him by. Nah, bro. The game hasn't passed him by. He's just old school, which means he's strict and holds people accountable. If the new school cats can't handle that, don't come here. That's it, bro. And we say it all the time.
And again,
bro.
Clip this. We're not saying Tibbs is perfect because somehow we're still going to be called Tibbs D Riders and Ron is nuts, this, that, and the third.
He got issues, bro.
He has problems on the offense. We know this. But my word, open your eyeballs. Like, dude, you got to look around and see the positive. You got to take in the flowers every now and then, man. Like, dude, you got
grass. Like we were told to do, go touch grass. You told us to touch grass, bro. Apparently, we don't touch grass.
Nah, we told him to touch grass.
I said that because he told us that first.
Oh yeah,
that's why I said that.
But yeah, man, listen, we're acting like we've been to the championship in the last 5 years. We haven't seen the championships in 72.
We've seen it. We just didn't win it.
I mean, 72. You're right. We didn't win it since 72. I'm sorry. We saw it 73, in 73. We didn't. We were there in the 90s.
We were in 94 and 99.
And you were there for both of them. I'm sorry, Stevie.
But we didn't win.
It's okay.
We were so close for one. I don't want to get into it. Let's just move on.
It hurts. I know. But yeah, moral of the story is why are we acting like spoiled children? Why are you acting like we were there already? Like, relax. We're actually on the come up. We're getting there. Can we appreciate that for a second?
Yo, you're the one who told me that somebody said, oh, if this is as far as we go, I don't want it.
Yeah.
That makes no goddamn sense, bro. Like,
we just got here.
Bro, you just got to a destination and you already don't like it there? Like, where would you rather be? In the lottery?
And you act like we've been here since last year. We just got here. Like, we literally just, we're the new cats in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck?
This is a weird fan base, bro.
I had a curse. I'm sorry.
It's okay. This is a weird fan base, though. And dude, I learned that. I mean, I learned that a while ago, but today was very, very weird. I mean, we did an emergency episode.
So weird. So, but here's how weird. It gets even weirder, bro. If we trade Randall, everything would be. We wouldn't hear anything. We'd probably see praises. Like, it would probably be the most positive day in Knicks Twitter history. Like, and it's weird. Why? Why?
That's when he'll get his flowers. When he gets traded.
Yeah, man. Like, it will be peace on earth if Randall gets traded.
Like, two-time All-Star. Two-time. That's when you're gonna hear all the accolades that everybody says means nothing.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, you know, it's what I've learned. It's a lose-lose situation here. So, the best thing we can do is gather as much people as we can who think the same way we do through YouTube and every social media you see down below.
follow.
You already know, man. And this concludes this episode. So, again, did Evan Fournier do the right thing? I don't think he did. Don't think he did at all.
I agree.
I don't think he did at all. So, with that being said, Knicks Anonymous family, we will see you. Depending on what happens this week, we'll probably see you on our regularly scheduled programs, which is Monday mornings. You got a little freebie today because Evan Fournier decided to give us some content.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you, Evan.
It was kind of a nothing burger, but then again, it wasn't.
It kind of opened
some doors.
Yeah, the Knicks the Knicks community opened the can of worms for us, honestly. So it was more of the Knicks community that we wanted to get on about the situation because for some reason we could get rid of everybody else besides Obi and Fournier.
Oh my God, imagine if we built around them instead of Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle.
I don't know, bro. That's what it sounds like, dude. You would think the way people treat Obi and Fournier, you'd think they're the franchise.
Weird. It is what it is, though.
It surely is, gentlemen and ladies. I said that backwards. I'm tired. I got to go to work tomorrow at 3 in the morning. I'm tight. I'm here for y'all. Yeah, Jesus is indeed Christ. So, shout out to Knicks Anonymous family. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday, probably. Follow us.
If not this Monday, the following Monday.
That's a fact. You know how we do.
Peace.